One of the great hymns traditionally sung on this second Sunday of Easter calls upon the church to welcome in unwearied strains Jesus' resurrection. The poet John of Damascus had clearly experienced an Easter vigil or two, and the rigors of all the special services of the bright week that followed the first week of Easter. Familiar, too, was he with the smaller, wearier congregation that meets on this eighth day of Eastertide. No doubt the disciples were weary on that first Easter evening. Their last few days had been amazingly eventful. They had gathered in an upper room for a feast with Jesus, a feast at which he surprised them by kneeling and washing their feet, each of them in turn. No less surprising was the long dinner speech he gave that night, a speech that came across decidedly as a farewell. And then the rush of events that led from Jesus' arrest to his execution. But that very morning, Mary Magdalene had found them in their hiding place. She told them that she had seen the Lord and had had conversation with Jesus after he had called her by name. What were they to make of such news? And what are we to make of such news? We heard it again last week just as they did. A woman stood among us with strange news of new life, of resurrected life, which she had witnessed, which she had seen with her eyes, heard with her own ears, touched with her own hands. New life caught up in the resurrection of Jesus. We heard it again last week, just as they did. Messengers in white robes burst into the room bellowing, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." And we responded in the rush of the moment. But now that rush is at least a week old. And what are we to make of such news? The disciples did not make anything of it. They went into hiding, presumably in the same room where they had last feasted with Jesus. And there, in that room where they had heard Jesus say, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be dismayed. Trust in God. Trust also in me." In that same room, they closeted themselves behind locked doors. They were not only weary, they were afraid. This is the room. This is the room in which we feast with Jesus. This is the room in which we encounter messengers, angelic and not so angelic, who encourage us to trust God, to trust in Jesus for life, and out of that trust to make something of the news that Christ is risen. But we can hide in this room too, can't we? Closeting ourselves in here, away from the world, away from the relentless pace of change and struggle. We can shut ourselves up in this room just as completely as they did, hiding from the challenge of being alive. Jesus came and stood among them, breathing peace. He showed them his hands and side. He exhibited to them the wounds by which he had overcome the world, a world organized in opposition to God's shalom. And then, breathing upon them as God had breathed on the waters at creation, the risen, wounded one entrusted the disciples with a new way of making something of the news. Jesus sent the disciples to become vessels of forgiveness in a world that knows precious little of it. The risen, wounded one seeks us out in this room to commission us. Our great commission, perhaps our greatest, the gift Jesus bestows on us to make something of the news and our lives, this great commission to become vessels of reconciliation and forgiveness. Thomas was not in the room. That's the best part of the story. Thomas was not in the room. Why? Presumably, Thomas was not locked in the room because he was not locked in the same kind of fear that his friends had experienced. For whatever reason, he returns to the room, Thomas does. The disciples, despite the fact that they have been sent, are still there when Thomas returns. But the others act out the vocation for which they have just been commissioned. They preach to Thomas. They announce to him the same message that they had heard from Mary Magdalene: we have seen the Lord. And at that moment, Thomas had the opportunity to come to faith on the basis of the word, the Christian message, without any seeing. But such trust eludes him. Instead, Thomas voices the desire to handle Jesus. Not simply to handle the body of Jesus, but to see and touch the mark of the nails and spear in his hands and side. Thomas does not want just any visible, tangible proof that Jesus is risen. He fixes his request and our attention on the crucifixion. He wants to see wounds on a resurrected body. Thomas wants convincing that the risen one is identical with the crucified one. Why? Why is that of such importance to Thomas? Would not the presence of the risen Jesus standing there breathing peace in the room not satisfy him? It seems to me that Thomas fixes his attention on the wounds because he does not believe, he does not trust that the path of suffering love has any meaning in it at all. Thomas doubts that suffering can be transformed by vindication. What Thomas doubts is that suffering, the kind of suffering out of which new life and reconciliation are born, can find meaning in vindication. and dost so. Thomas takes his place with us in the room as our contemporary. Perhaps for us, as well as for Thomas, the greatest obstacle to Christian faith and trust is not questions of the miraculous, even the question of the resurrection. What we doubt, do we not, is that human suffering, the great agony we see around us and experience within us, can find any meaning whatsoever. Jesus steps into the room and displays for Thomas the wounds. The risen one still bears the wounds and challenges Thomas to explore the wounds. And just so, Jesus announces again in his very body that God vindicates the path of reconciliation that only occurs by participation in the suffering of the world. This is the room. The risen wounded one still comes among us with the only body that Jesus now has, our bodies. We come into this room with bodies wearied by suffering and illness and brokenness, and sometimes bodies wearied also and broken by the pursuit of real justice and mercy in our world. The risen wounded one comes among us and invites us to learn to trust again by exploring the woundedness we bring, the world's woundedness, into this room with the confidence that God will make something of it. Let not your hearts be troubled. In Christ's name, Amen.